Bibles, please turn to the book of Mark, chapter 2. Mark, chapter 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 5 together, and then we'll read one other verse a little later in the passage. Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And let's all read verse 12 together. Ready? And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for such a great place. Thank you that you thought of the church. Father, thank you for this great host of people. We've fellowshipped together. We've sung praises back to you, and oh, what a beautiful sound it is. Even more beautiful to hear these hundreds and hundreds of people read your words back to you aloud. Father, please fill a preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our lives so we could go out and reach more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Well, I've been having fun today. Boy, hasn't it been good? Thank God, thank God, thank God. I'm glad that God knows something about Martinsburg, West Virginia. I'm glad that God is with us. I want you to listen to me this evening. I've entitled the sermon, Advertise Jesus. Advertise Jesus. In the passage of Scripture that we read earlier, we find that Jesus went to Capernaum. It was noised that he was there. In other words, the people had begun to advertise his presence in a certain house in that city called Capernaum. So many people showed up, they didn't know what to do with them all. And the Bible says the people began to gather at this particular house where Jesus was said to be. They just kept coming. They kept coming. And they kept coming. They kept coming. I can picture it. I don't know if you've ever read through the passage of Scripture and thought about it, but somewhere in that house, Jesus was either sitting or standing, and people started knocking on the door and asking, said, Is Jesus here? And they said, Indeed, he is. They said, But may we come in? And they invited them into the house, and somebody else came and knocked on the door and said, We heard that Jesus was here. Is he here? They said, Yes, indeed, he is. And they invited them into the house, and they kept coming, and they kept coming. They filled the house. I think there were people that were sitting. If Jesus were in what we'd call the living room, I think they'd sit on all of the chairs in the living room, and they were standing along the wall. They started to fill up the kitchen with all of these people. People sitting at the table, people standing around, maybe sitting up on the countertop. They filled all the rooms in that house, and the Bible says the people just kept coming. They kept coming till they filled the house, and then people started gathering around the outside of the house. Why? Somebody had advertised Jesus Christ. The Bible says that as they kept gathering and kept gathering, the place would get more and more full, and they called it the press. In other words, people were pressed up against each other trying to get to Jesus. And the Bible says, after this great crowd had gathered, he began to speak to them. He began to preach to them. And if you really read it carefully, it says in verse number 3, some folks got on fire during the preaching. They went out and found somebody that that needed to be saved and needed to be healed. And there were some people there. I mean, Jesus had been preaching to this big crowd. And all of a sudden, a couple of guys got this idea. They said, hey, on our way here, we've seen this crippled guy up the road, and he had no way to get here. Let's go get him, and we'll bring him back here. All this time, Jesus is preaching. And so what happened is, during the preaching, somebody got on fire about soul winning. They decided, well, let's go get us one right now. And they left this little meeting at this house, and they went out and they got a fella. Now, he was on a stretcher. It would have been a makeshift stretcher. There were probably four people carrying him, two on each end, hanging onto that stretcher. When they got back, the place was so crowded and so packed, they couldn't get this cripple man to Jesus, and they wanted to get him down front. When it's time for the altar call, you couldn't get to the altar because the aisles were so full, you might say. So they climbed up on top of the roof, and they started tearing the roof off of this house so this man could get to Jesus. And the next thing you know, they start lowering him down, and the Bible says that they lower this man through the ceiling so he can get a front row seat where Jesus is. And the Bible says this fella gets saved, he gets healed, and boy, were they excited. In Mark chapter 2, verse number 12, the Bible says that they were all amazed and glorified God because they'd never seen anything like that happened before. You say, what was exciting about it? Well, I think there are a couple things exciting about it. I think that they were amazed at the fact that this man got saved the way that he did. I think they were amazed at the tenacity of these soul winners that said, we're going to get this guy to Jesus even if we got to tear the roof off of this place. But I think they were also amazed at the crowd that had been drawn to that house there in Capernaum. Say, how in the world did they get that crowd? Now, I've seen a lot of techniques in drawing a crowd. But can I tell y'all something? If we'd like to have a crowd here at the church, let me tell you what we need to advertise. Let's advertise Jesus. Let's just advertise Jesus. And that's what they did. The Bible says it was noised abroad that Jesus was in that place. So you say, Brother Owens, what do you learn from the scripture there? How did they get their crowd? I know exactly how they got their crowd. They just started going around saying, guess who's down at that house? Jesus. Jesus is there. And a revival breaks out here, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Let me quickly show you some things that happened in regard to this, but I want you to remember, our ultimate goal tonight is to remember, if we're going to advertise, let's advertise Jesus. See, first of all, the first step that I see in this process is this. The Bible says that Jesus entered Capernaum. It says in Mark chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. He entered Capernaum. You see, that Jesus was in that house in Capernaum. Now, that's the first part. You're not going to draw people, at least the right way, unless you have something to which to draw them. And in this case, Jesus was there. Now, let me tell you, folks, we ought to thank God that Jesus was in that house in Capernaum, but could I tell you, we better thank God that Jesus is in this house of God right here in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Oh, I was listening to our choir sing earlier. Choir, that was fresh. Oh, about the love of God. And then that ensemble that came up here to sing, and then the congregational singing. You know something? If you're not careful, you'll miss it. I would say Jesus is in this place. Were you in church this morning as God was working in this place, little old Martinsburg, West Virginia, in the hills? Hey, what's happening though? God is in this place. You see, that's what it's all about. They entered, or Jesus entered Capernaum. And I'm glad Jesus has entered Martinsburg, West Virginia. I'm glad Jesus has entered the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and he's been here for years. Thousands of people saved in this place every year. Jesus is in this place. Jesus is in the music. Let me tell you something, entertainers or singers, we're not trying to train entertainers. We're not looking for professional people. We're looking for people with the breath of God on their life. I like the matching outfits. I think it's classy, and I think it's a very, very first class kind of a thing to do, and we'll do that. But I'd rather trash all the outfits and just have Jesus on the music. If that's what it took, now we can do both, and we will do both. But I want Jesus here, and I'm glad Jesus is on the music in our church. I go to churches all the time. Trying to get people to sing is like pulling hen's teeth. I mean, that music director, he's trying as hard as he can, and he can't sing. I love it around here. I love to hear our people sing. I love to watch Brother Nash lead the singing. Brother Nash, they make it easy when they sing for you, don't they? Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Jesus entered this place called Capernaum, and I'm glad that Jesus is right here with us in our church. Jesus is in. Hey, I let me tell you that there are pastors that listen to our sermons online. So, pastors, let me tell you something. Jesus is in our offerings around here, too. I like that. I like that. Never have to beg the people for money. All of our bills are paid. We've never had a money-raising venture of any sort. God's just come along, and we have been faithful. Jesus is in the offerings. Jesus is in the music. Thank God for Martinsburg Christian Academy. Jesus is in our school. It's not a private school. It's a Christian school. Matter of fact, it's a Baptist Christian school. So you all know, we're not trying to build a big Christian school. We're trying to build a pure Christian school. That's what it's all about. And thank God for the spirit of our young people and the spirit of Martinsburg Christian Academy. Thank God for the altar calls. I'm glad Jesus, He is in the altar calls of this place. See, Jesus is working in your life, and you ought to thank God for that. And you better recognize it. Hey, many marriages have been salvaged right here in this auditorium. Many families have been salvaged. Thousands of people have been saved and baptized and fell at this altar and refreshed their relationship with God. They realized that Jesus was in this place. We need to recognize the blessing of having the presence of God in this place. The best thing that could be said about our church is this. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Somebody ever asks you, say, what's the best thing about your church? Why don't you say, Jesus? 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 I've got Him on my mind. You see, the very first thing that happened here is that Jesus entered Capernaum. And I thank God that Jesus has entered Martinsburg, West Virginia. And I thank God that Jesus has entered the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. And I thank God that Jesus has entered the music program of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. And I thank God that Jesus has entered the soul winning program of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. And I thank God that Jesus has entered Martinsburg Christian Academy. And I thank God that Jesus has entered the public services of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. And I thank God that Jesus has entered the bus ministry of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. And I thank God that Jesus has entered the youth ministry of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. We're not just playing religion. Hey, Jesus is in this place. That's what happened here. Jesus entered Capernaum. Jesus entered that place in that certain house. The second thing that we see happen here, though, is the Bible says it was noised abroad that Jesus was in that place. It was noised abroad. You see, not only did He enter, but everybody was talking about it. They were letting everybody know. About what? Jesus. They were letting everybody know that Jesus was in that place. These people started advertising Jesus. They started advertising. Hey, they weren't advertising the preacher. They were advertising Jesus, see? They weren't advertising the music program. They were advertising the Jesus in the music program. They were not advertising their buildings. They were advertising the Jesus that came and met with them in their buildings. They were not advertising their sports program. They were advertising the fact that Jesus was in control of their sports program. Let me tell you something. Fundamentalists get real organized, and we get all these programs, and then we start promoting our programs, and we forget. It's all about Jesus, you see. I'm glad for you to have a wonderful program and to have everything organized and to dot all your fundamental I's and cross all your fundamental T's. But I want to know, is Jesus in your church? Is Jesus in your Christian school? Is Jesus in your special music? Oh, that's what I want to know. You see, they advertise Jesus, not the music. They advertise Jesus, not the building. They advertise Jesus, not their sports program. They advertise Jesus, not their nursery. They advertised the Jesus that made their nursery first class. They advertised Jesus. Hey, the activities are important that we have around here. And I want you to attend the activities. Let me tell you something. Anytime Jesus is left out of the activities, we need to cancel the activities. Because the activities are about Jesus.
and the music's about Jesus, and the preaching's about Jesus, and everything that we do, the sports program is about Jesus. It's not about boys puffing up, becoming arrogant and full of pride, and physically trying to defeat each other. It's all about Jesus. It's about Jesus. That's what it's really all about. Let's advertise Jesus. Hey, let's tell people that Jesus saves here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Hey, let's advertise and tell people that Jesus speaks to hearts here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Hey, let's advertise and tell people that Jesus brings conviction on God's people here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Hey, let's tell people that Jesus changed our lives here at church. Let's just go everywhere and say, you know what? Jesus is in our music. You know what? Jesus is in our sports program. And that'll be different for most of them. Most of them have no concept what it is to have Jesus in their sports program. Jesus in their sports program. I was thinking, I think it was Ray MacArthur hit the very first home run for our baseball league. And I think Danny Hill, where you at, Danny? I think Danny Hill was pitching. These guys are buddies, and they go soul winning together, and they love God together. Danny pitched the ball that Ray hit over the fence, and the first guy to shake Ray's hand was the pitcher. Danny said, good job, buddy. It was a memorial moment where we found out that it's all about Jesus, not all about home runs around here. Where two young men are friends and buddies and they can play ball without cutting each other's throat. And it's all about Jesus. I want to keep it that way. And if it doesn't stay that way, we will cancel the baseball league because it will not become all about the physical. It'll stay spiritual. I'd rather not have a sports program if it's going to be all about the physical. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but with godliness there's great gain. It's all about Jesus, you see. It's about Jesus. Hey, let's tell people everywhere we go that Jesus changed our lives here. Let's tell people everywhere we go that the preaching is all about Jesus. Hey, tell people to come and hear that the goodness of Jesus Christ. Let's tell people to come and hear about the greatness of Jesus Christ. Let's tell people to come here and hear about the power of Jesus Christ. Hey, let's get people to our church so they can hear about how wonderful Jesus is. Let's tell people about how fresh Jesus is here at our church. Let's tell people to come and see what Jesus does here, what He's done before, what He's going to do in the future. Hey, I can tell you how we can draw a crowd at the church. Let's just talk about Jesus. Let's keep Jesus as the crucial part of everything. Let's keep Him in the music. Hey, ushers, let's keep Jesus in your attitude while you usher. Hey, parking lot attendant, keep Jesus' smile on your face when you're out there directing lunkhead women drivers. Let's tell them about Jesus. Hey, there's a gift that is worth giving. Let's give the gift of Jesus Christ. Hey, that's worth coming to church for. Jesus. You see, first of all, Jesus entered Capernaum. So He was there. And thank God Jesus is here. Now, what's our job? We need to noise it abroad. Let's advertise that Jesus is here. You take the Old Testament prophets. The Old Testament prophet of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53, he prophesied the coming of Jesus Christ in the New Testament era. You know, there were three wise men that saw a star, and those three wise men heard from the Old Testament scripture the advertisement that Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem, and they followed a star for months. Why did they follow that star? Because somebody advertised Jesus. Those wise men at the birth of Jesus Christ were seeking Jesus. And folks, let me tell you what people are really hungry for today. What people are really looking for. I'll tell you, the people that are strung out on drugs out there, they're looking for something, and we've got it. You say, what are they looking for? They're really looking for Jesus. They're really looking for Jesus. The drunks are looking for something. What are they looking for? Ultimately, they're looking for Jesus Christ. They're looking for Jesus, and we have Him. So what do we need to do? Let's advertise to all the drunks that Jesus is here. Let's advertise to all the druggies that Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Just like the Old Testament prophet of Isaiah was able to write a few words about Jesus Christ coming hundreds of years later, three wise men follow a star for months seeking Jesus based on those few words where somebody in the Old Testament advertised Jesus. The woman at Sychar's well met Jesus one day in John chapter 4. Jesus said to the woman, "Give me to drink of that water." Well, She was a Samaritan woman, and usually the Samaritans have no dealings with the Jews. But Jesus said, I want you to give me of the water. And Jesus said, what you need, lady, is you need to drink of a water where you will never thirst again. What water was that? He was talking about the water of the Word of God. He was talking about taking a great big old deep gulp of what He was, Jesus Christ, the Savior. She takes a drink of the living water. She gets saved. And you know what happens? The Bible says in John 4:29 that she ran into town and said, guess what? You're not going to believe who I met. I met a man that told me everything about me. He told all about my history. And the Bible says that the townspeople flocked out to find him. What happened? This gal, the woman at the well, she advertised Jesus. And people come a-running in John 4:30 because she advertised Jesus. Isaiah advertised Jesus, and three wise men traveled for months to find him. The woman at the well advertised Jesus, and everybody in town ran out to meet him. The maniac of Gadara in Mark chapter 5. As we know, this man, he was lost and on his way to hell and influenced by the devil in a terrible, terrible way. Jesus came along to the country of the Gadarenes, and while there, Jesus preached, and this man called the maniac of Gadara, running naked and a vile, wicked, vicious, nasty man, he gets born again. That old, evil, sin-cursed man got born again. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the maniac of Gadara went to a place called Decapolis. And he told them there about Jesus. The maniac of Gadara walked into town, and the maniac of Gadara started telling everybody in Decapolis, I met Jesus. Jesus is out there. You ought to meet Jesus. And the Bible says in Mark 5:21, many people gathered unto Jesus. Why? Because the maniac of Gadara advertised Jesus. And the woman at Sychar's well advertised Jesus. And Isaiah in Isaiah 53 advertised Jesus. And the people in Capernaum advertised that Jesus was in that place. And it drew a crowd. Hey, there is something about Jesus that draws needy people. I don't know about you, but I need Him. I need Him. Hey, did you come to church tonight needing something? Let me advise you. What you need is a good old-fashioned dose of Jesus. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the forever one, the forgiving one, the loving one, the compassionate one. I don't know what your need is tonight, but I know the great need filler. Who is it? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. A leper in Mark chapter 1 was healed by Jesus Christ. In Mark 1:44, Jesus said to that leper, He said, let's not make a scene. Jesus said, let's not make a scene. You don't need to go and tell everybody. The leper went out and he just couldn't hold back. The leper, he had been diseased. He meets Jesus. Jesus saves and heals him. And Jesus very humbly says, now you don't need to go tell everybody about what just happened. And this leper said, okay, I'll try. He no sooner left the presence of Jesus Christ. He said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't keep my mouth shut. I got to tell somebody. Guess what happened to me? I was a leper. I'm clean. I know I'm not supposed to be telling you, but I can't help it. I've got to tell you. I met Jesus. Jesus. You know what the Bible says? There were so many people. It says in Mark chapter 1, verse 45, they came from every quarter of that region as a result of one leper running around advertising Jesus. One leper. One leper was going everywhere. That man, he got up on Monday morning and somebody said, well, how'd your weekend go? He said, well, Jesus was at our church. And at work, he talked about Jesus saving people at church. And after work, he stopped and got a Coke, and someone said, How are you today? And he said, I'm good, but I'll tell you what. I spent the day talking about Jesus. Jesus, you should have heard the song that our choir sang. It was about the love of Jesus. You know what happened? This one leper had people from every quarter of that area that came. They couldn't even find a place to put them all. The Bible teaches they had to be led out into a desert place because town couldn't hold all the people that had been told about Jesus. 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 They advertised him in Isaiah 53. They advertised him by the woman or the woman at the well. He was advertised by the maniac of Gadara. He was advertised by a leper in Mark chapter 1. There was a deaf and a dumb man. He met Jesus in Mark chapter 7. And Jesus heals him. And again, Jesus says this man in Mark 7:36. He said, let's not make a scene. Just keep it under your hat. The man did his very best. He knew that Jesus said, now, let's be hush-hush about this. And Jesus was being humble. And this man, he had been deaf and he had been dumb. And he couldn't hear. He couldn't talk. Well, somebody walked over to him. Everybody knew he was deaf and dumb. Somebody said something. He said, I hear you. And he said it with his mouth. And he heard it. And somebody said, I thought you couldn't hear. He said, I couldn't. They said, what happened to you? He said, can't tell. No, what happened to you? He said, I can't tell. Please. He said, all right. I met Jesus. You're not going to believe it. Then he said, cat's out of the bag. I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to tell everybody. I once could not hear. Now I can. I could not talk. Now I can. A man said, I had leprosy. Now I don't. I was crippled. Now I'm not. I was dying. Now I'm not. Hey, don't you think that when old Lazarus got up out of that grave after being dead, he didn't go around advertising something? And it wasn't an HMO. What did he advertise? Jesus. Jesus. That's what he advertised. A deaf and dumb man advertised Jesus. And a leper in Mark 1 advertised Jesus. And a maniac of Gadara advertised Jesus. And the woman at Sychar's well, she advertised Jesus. And the Old Testament prophets in Isaiah 53 advertised Jesus. I was thinking something this morning. What a great, great meeting we had here this morning. And I watched as we were introducing visitors. We introduced someone from Alaska that had come to visit our church today. We introduced somebody from Ohio that came to visit our church today. We introduced somebody from Indiana that came to visit our church today. We introduced somebody from Virginia that came to visit our church today. We introduced somebody from Connecticut that came to visit our church today. We introduced somebody from Illinois that came to visit our church today. We introduced many visitors from West Virginia that came to visit our church today. We introduced visitors from Maryland that came to visit our church today. We introduced visitors from Pennsylvania that came to visit our church today. We introduced visitors from Florida that came to visit our church today. Do you realize right here in the hills of West Virginia, there were 11 different states represented visiting this church? Do you know what I think they came to see? I think they came to see if it's true that Jesus is working in this place. And you know what I'm glad to tell you? He was. And He did. Oh yeah. Thank God for Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Let's advertise Jesus. Now, I'm glad we have fancy church pews, but that's not what this church is all about. I wouldn't care if they were old wooden benches as long as Jesus was here. Hey, listen, I'm glad that we have a beautiful cantata at Christmas and at Easter and on Groundhog Day. Thank God for the cantatas. But really, the cantatas, they're really just all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Thank God for our building. And I just don't know what we're going to do, folks. We're elbow to elbow. And hey, you remember back when on Sundays, when we'd have a big day, we'd pack this place out? Now we have a big day on a bad day, and this place is packed out. But you know what? It's not really all about the building. It's all about Jesus. We got to set up our old tent and go out here and meet in the tent. It's all about Jesus. Remember when we lost the roof and we flooded our entire building? We had to have services in the gym. I preached a sermon called, Here Comes Jesus, He's Walking on the Water. You know what was great about it? We could have the very same spirit in an old beat up hot gymnasium as we have in an air conditioned chandelier building. Hey, I like that. You know why? The building is not what it's all about. What's it all about? Jesus. Jesus. Hey, we have a wonderful choir, but choir, remember, your job, it's all about Jesus. Thank God for the special music, but don't forget special music. It's not all about you. It's not all about your talent. It's all about Jesus getting the honor and the glory. And thank God when we get to take the Lord's Supper, and we do it in a dignified, organized manner, but that's really just all about the body and the blood of Jesus. That's what it's all about. Thank God for these chandeliers, but this church is not about the chandeliers. It's all about the light of the world, which is Jesus. It's not bad to advertise our church's positives. Not bad at all. But I'll tell you something. The moment the ministries of this church get more attention than He who the ministries are all about, we're in trouble. Martinsburg Christian Academy is all about Jesus. Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church is all about Jesus. This choir is all about Jesus. The youth department is all about Jesus. The bus ministry is all about Jesus. The soul winning is all about Jesus. The senior citizen ministry is all about Jesus. Martinsburg Christian Academy is all about Jesus. Jesus. Somebody says, what's different about your school? You tell them, Jesus is there. Jesus is there. And He's welcome there. And we're not ashamed of that. We are not a private school. We're a Baptist school. We believe the Bible. And that school's about Jesus. We want our kids to have a good education for Jesus' sake. Hey, that's what it's all about. Jesus. Speaking of advertising, you ever seen any of those church bulletin advertisements that are bloopers? Got a couple of them for you. Church bulletin advertisements, but they're bloopers. Now you gotta listen carefully as I read them, because you gotta catch the wording. Here's one. It said, Thursday night, potluck supper, prayer, and medication to follow. Here's one. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. A couple of you saying, oh, that may be me. Here's one. This being Easter Sunday, Mrs. Bertha Lewis will come forward and lay an egg on the altar. Now, I hope this one's okay. I didn't run this one by my wife. She screams at me to keep me out of trouble, but I didn't run this one by. I think it's okay. Next Sunday, a special collection will be taken to defray the cost of our new carpeting. All those wishing to do something on the new carpeting will come forward and do it. I don't know what that means. It depends on how corrupt your mind is as to how corrupt that joke is. Me, I don't see anything wrong with it. Here's another one. During the absence of our pastor for vacation, we enjoyed the rare privilege of hearing a good sermon when Dr. A.B. Jones supplied the pulpit. Now that offends me. Here's one. You will want to attend the National Prayer and Fasting Conference at the First Baptist Church. Your registration fee includes 3 meals. Here's another one. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things that you don't want to keep, and don't forget your husband. Here's one more. Please welcome Pastor Brown, a caring man who loves hurting people. You got to think about it. In this New Testament story, Jesus Christ had gone into Capernaum. When He went into Capernaum, suddenly people just couldn't keep their mouths shut. They started talking. They started saying, you're not going to believe who's at our house. Oh, we have a house guest. It's Jesus Christ. The Bible says people kept coming and kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. Before long, there were people getting saved and God was doing miracles. You say, what happened? They advertised Jesus Christ. They advertised Him. See, He had to be there first. And once He got there, they started talking about Him being there. In the Old Testament, Isaiah talked about Him in Isaiah 53. It influenced 3 wise men that journeyed for months. Why? Because somebody had advertised Jesus. The woman at Sychar's well, one day she got what she needed and she went out and began to advertise Jesus and she drew a crowd. The maniac of Gadara met Jesus and he became of a right mind and he went everywhere in Decapolis and advertised Jesus. A leper was healed of his leprosy and he started advertising Jesus and people were drawn to him. A deaf man, a man deaf and dumb, was healed by Jesus Christ. And he went out and told everybody what Jesus had done. He advertised Jesus and people flocked to Jesus. That's what we're to advertise. That's what it's really all about. That's what the ministry's all about. Hey, there's a reason why God left you here on this earth. You don't forget, God could have saved you and taken you right to heaven. But He did not. He left you behind for a specific purpose, and it was not to eat potato chips and drink soda and watch TV. God left you behind because He wanted you to go around and talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords Supreme. Throughout all eternity, let's talk about Jesus. Let's advertise Jesus. You know, I find out here, once this crowd had drawn together, He preached to them. That house, they all came together and He preached to them. In Mark chapter 2, verse number 2, it says, and He preached the word unto them. Now what did He preach unto them? The word. The word. Do you know what Jesus preached to them? Jesus preached to them Jesus. That's what Jesus preached to them. Jesus. Because in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, Jesus was the Word of God. So what do you have here? You have Jesus. A crowd has been drawn, and what's he do? He preaches to them Jesus. That's what he does. We advertise Jesus by preaching the Word of God. That honors God. That is to be our ultimate goal, is to advertise Jesus Christ. We're to preach the Word when we get a crowd together. Why? Because that's a way of advertising Jesus. That's one reason why we don't cancel preaching for a cantata. We can have both. We'll have a cantata at a 6 o'clock hour, but we'll have preaching at the 7 o'clock hour. We're not going to cancel church for Christmas. Christmas is all about Jesus. We're not going to cancel church for Easter or the Easter Bunny. It's all about Jesus. Here, Groundhog Day, that's all about Jesus too. You say, well, everything around here about Jesus? You guessed her, Chester. Yeah, it's all about Jesus. You see, he entered Capernaum. In other words, he was there. Then they advertised that he was there. Then he preached to them. That's God's plan. Jesus wants us to draw people and then preach to them. Preach to them what? The Word of God. The Word of God. You know, let me finish with this. They had to tear the roof off of that place. There were so many people. You know, there's a story in Acts chapter 20 where the Apostle Paul was preaching and the crowd had become so big and the building was so full, there were people actually sitting in the rafters. You know something? If we will exalt Jesus, God will bless our church. The day this church becomes about Jeff Owens is the day that God will withdraw His blessing. This church is about Jesus Christ in that book. The day this church becomes all about our music program is the day that God will withdraw His blessing, because this church is not about a music program. It's about the Jesus of the music program. Well, we're getting ready to build a new building out here. We'll build an educational building, and then you're just going to have to build a new auditorium to house the crowd. But I'll tell you something. The day that it all becomes about the building and the grounds, God will withdraw His hand of blessing, because it's not all about the buildings. It's not all about the parking lot. It's not all about the chandeliers. It's not all about the pews. It's not all about the pulpit. It's not all about the carpeting. It's not all about the mausoleum. It's not all about those beautiful buses out there. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I remember, it's not been a couple years ago. Remember, those of you that are sitting in the back right of this auditorium, there used to be a wall built back there. And those of you in the last three or four pews, those were all offices back there. Kind of the auditorium just about cut off right at where the balcony is there. The auditorium was smaller than this. But we had to tear those walls down for people. And the same thing was true back here. Those of you sitting in the back of the auditorium back here, that used to be, well, back here we had Paul Mongan's office and some storage closets, and back here we had a couple of offices for our school. This whole section back here, it was all built in, it was all offices. But people kept coming, and people kept coming, and we had to tear all those walls down. In the balcony, remember folks, just about half of the balcony was all closed off. There were walls built there. There were Sunday school classes and offices up there, and we had to open them up. What for? For people? Then we tried to build a building because of the growth of our church, and we're struggling with a building permit, but we didn't let it stop us, and we put a mobile home out here to house the crowd of Sunday school. We put mobile unit number 1 in. Then we had to put mobile unit number 2 in. Then we had to put mobile unit number 3 in. Then we put 4 and 5 in. That's our double wide. I've already told you we're going to build the biggest trailer park in West Virginia right here at our church if they don't let us build a building soon. But people say, how in the hills of West Virginia has a little old country church grown as fast and as strong? Folks, if you check the churches across America and the percentage of our crowd that's here tonight that was here this morning, it's amazing. We run between 500 and 600 on a Sunday night. That's a real big chunk of the nearly 1,000 that are here every Sunday morning. People say, how in the world did that happen? There's only really one explanation. And that's Jesus. I couldn't do it.
My staff, have you ever looked at them? They couldn't do it. But I know somebody who can. There are people that would like this church to fail. They would. There are people that come here just hoping it'll be a negative experience. Apologize to you. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I've got Him on my mind. And that is what it's all about. Just advertise Jesus. People say, what's special about your church? You say, well, I don't know any other way to tell you, but Jesus is there. Jesus is there. So, what makes your music program special? Jesus. What makes your school special? Jesus. What makes your youth ministry special? Jesus. So what makes your athletic league better than others? I don't know if they're better than others, but I'll tell you this. I know what makes them special. Jesus. 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 I'm not ashamed of Him. I'm not ashamed of Him. This place is all about Jesus. And the Bible says it was noised abroad that He was in Capernaum. And it drew such a crowd. They didn't have to give hot dogs away or bubble gum. They just said, guess who's at our house? And I've got a hunch, folks, if you leave out of this place with the smile and the Spirit of Jesus Christ upon your life, people are going to say, what's special about your church? And you say, you just need to come see Jesus works in that place. And there are people that will come and see because you don't see it much anymore. So much bland routine in Christianity. We just need Jesus.